as the choir has invited us into this special time of year. This season is called Advent, where the people of God hope for the coming of God into the midst of a dark world. There is a sense of delicacy and vulnerability to the word that God speaks to us. But it is bright, it is strong, it is powerful, and it will change our lives if we receive it. Hear the word of God from the book of Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pause for our prayer to invite God to speak to us. Almighty and everlasting God, your word resounds through the ages. We ask that it would sound clear to us today. As you have spoken in times past, may you speak now through your prophet Jeremiah. The word of encouragement and comfort and hope in the midst of our despair, our darkness, our despondency. Through Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. When you think of Advent, think of the night. There has been a shift of color in our experience of Advent during the celebration that we have in this congregation. We have gone from purple to blue. For some of this is a difficult transition, but let me give you the symbolic reason why. It has to do with blue being the color of night, and that we, in the midst of the time of night on earth, have expectations that the Prince of Peace, the royal blue, representing the King of all things and all people, will come and bring salvation to us. And so we wait with expectation even while life is at its darkest. I can't remember a week in my life in this church when I have experienced more tough conversations with people in tears than this week. Been tremendous pain that has been shared. It is the right time for tears to be shed and for pain to be vocalized, because it is time we recognize that without the presence of the living God in the midst of human darkness, there is no hope. And so in this Advent season, if you are in a tough place, if you have felt abandoned or rejected, or you are feeling out of the realm of importance, then this time is for you, because it is a clear affirmation that God particularly comes and speaks to those who are walking in darkness and hunger to see a great light. It was an icy winter night. Two people driving through an unfamiliar neighborhood. The car suddenly skid off the road in the ice and lunged into the front yard of a home, throwing snow and dirt and plants and turf everywhere. As the two in the car recovered their sense of balance and got out and began to dig the car out of all of that mess, there was an outpouring of people from homes around, and they all started to help. After the car had been dug out and moved back onto the road, the people who had driven the car offered the homeowner some payment for the damages to the tremendously confused front yard. The homeowner turned down the offer, saying, "It's worth every rut and broken plant that I have to see that in the midst of adversity, my neighbors can come out of their houses and work together." And that's our hope and expectation. That in the midst of the adversity and pain, we will see an outpouring of justice and righteousness in a world where we tend to look out for ourselves rather than our neighbors. During the darkest moments, we look for a light that will break in. In Advent, we spend a lot of time reaffirming the length of time of the waiting process. The reenactment of those who waited literally hundreds of years in anticipation while life was difficult and painful for the Messiah to come. And so today we recognize that Jeremiah was a prophet in the midst of probably the most painful time in Israel's history. That into that human night comes a God who brings light. Among a people who do not have the sight to see it, God brings the power of being able to show God's presence when things are toughest. There are always two sides to prophecy. There's the side which declares that if we continue in our own way, we will bring destruction on ourselves and upon our families and on our nations if we continue without God. Then there's the side that says, if you will turn to God, if you will repent and experience the presence of a God who loves you, then life will turn around, God will be present, and you will experience in the presence of God a return of justice and righteousness, an abundance of life. Jeremiah had a pattern where he not only declared the dark side of prophecy, but many times he declared the words that were hopeful. And they usually came in this formula. "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will bring my people back to their own land, when I will teach them my power and my might. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous branch who shall reign as king, who shall deal wisely with Judah and Jerusalem, and that name is the Lord of righteousness. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will visit you. I will fulfill my promise and bring you back to the place where you love. The days are surely coming, says the Lord. I will visit you and restore the fortunes of my people. I will bring them back. I will break the bond of their yoke. I will be their God. I will turn their mourning into joy, and I will comfort them and give them gladness. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fill the house of Judah and Jerusalem with new human beings and new animals. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a covenant and I will write that on the hearts of people, and I will forgive them and not remember their sin. I will rebuild their cities. I will bring recovery and healing, cleanse them and forgive them. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise that I made to Israel and Judah to execute righteousness and justice in the world. And those days are surely coming." The heart of the promise is focused on the very character and presence of God. It is Yahweh Tsidkenu. The Lord is our righteousness. Israel had experienced the failure of government to be righteous. They had experienced the failure of their religion to provide justice. And so God says, in the midst of this destitution, I will take that old stump of Israel and I will show you a shoot that grows out of the deadness of the stump. And it will be like a rose that is live for eternity. It is bright. It is colorful. It is the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. The world of Jeremiah, Judah, and Jerusalem at this time is a world where Israel and Judah are caught between three warring nations, three empires of the world who want to control: Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon, all and each trying to fight to gain control, particularly of Israel, because it's a key place in the movement of trade around the known world. Huge empires fighting for a small, insignificant nation. And Judah, particularly at this time, is under the siege of Nebuchadnezzar, under the siege of a king that would bring it down completely, that would soon destroy the temple, wipe out the palaces, get rid of the kings, kill all the priests, and make sure that almost nothing of the culture is left on the outside. It is a scene of total devastation. Jeremiah is called to speak good news in the midst of the chaos, to somehow, in the midst of the despair, give some sense of the possible of God's delight, to confront the sins in the hearts and actions of the people, and to call them to change, because God is still present if they would turn to God. Jeremiah is in despair of his people. Sometimes his own despondency is so great, he doesn't even know if God is there for him or against him. His personal faith is constantly struggling in the midst of a perception of a faithless situation. He has a personal struggle with God that ends up in lamentation and confession of how he feels about God, whom he accuses of being deceitful toward him when he has called him in the first place. He is unpopular, imprisoned, threatened, tried, exiled, arrested for treason, forbidden to preach in the temple, and he continually is invited by God to say the hard things to his brothers and sisters in the faith. In Jeremiah's physical suffering, his inner doubt, his constant sense of introversion, hesitancy, being called so young and unable from his own perspective to be able to speak, alone, single, and as an outsider, he is constantly wrestling with whether God is really there in truth. But Jeremiah's message is consistently positive in the midst of the hardest place. God will be present no matter how terrible life becomes. God will write the law that has been on the outside in the public institutions, on the inner hearts of every human being if they will turn to him. While institutions are destructible, God's presence is eternal. That righteousness is not about so much what we do and what laws we keep, but who we know, because God is, by literal being, the God who is our righteousness. We, like Judah and Jerusalem, are tempted to think in outside structures. We are tempted to think that somehow that the government will bring righteousness and justice, that somehow the church will bring a sense in its priesthood of making things good that are bad. It's the same expectation that the people of Israel had, that the government, the house of David, and the religion through the priests would accomplish God's righteousness in the world. It does not happen. If we lose it all, if we lose the structures of religion and the faith of the practice of our Christian forefathers and mothers, and we lose the buildings that are so glorious, we lose the democracy that is so important to governance, and we lose all of the outside structures, what have we left? And this is the message of Jeremiah. You have a God who writes the law of righteousness and justice in your hearts. In the midst of destitution, that's where God resides. It is about presence. It's about ethics that comes out of the inner side of a person who desires, because of a love of God, to do the right thing and to make justice happen. It is about a personal relationship with a living God, about a community that's gathered around God, and it's about a community that sees God as the presence of righteousness and justice when there are no outside signs that validate it. I think America comes with many multiple minds at moments around Advent and Christmas. I was looking at a Newsweek advertisement. On one side was a presentation of an indexing fund that said somehow if you can actually invest in this index fund, your investments will outperform the market and you will have a good Christmas. But on the other side, if you turn the page, is a Save Darfur advertisement of calling people to be concerned about 400,000 people have been killed and 2.5 million people who have been thrown into refugee asylums. The genocide is happening, and it's a dark place in Sudan. In a sense, America has that double-mindedness. But what happens if we can't make the genocide stop? What happens if our investments don't work very well? What happens if our church doesn't perform the way we want it? What happens if our democracy doesn't produce what we need? That's where Jeremiah lives. And what happens is that we finally get to the root and the core of what the most important reality is in the midst of the night. And that's the presence of a living God who embodies righteousness and justice. And that God comes and resides in our hearts and in our relationships. God is our righteousness. We need a greater justice and judgment than our human perception and solutions. Even in the conversation of the Holy Land between Palestinians and Israelis, the question is, whose land does it belong to? If you had asked Jeremiah that question, my sense, he would say, who cares? Yes, God will bring his people back to the land, but the question is not whether the people are in the land, but whether God is in the people. And I believe at the heart of any solid religious and faithful person is that passion to have God in our hearts and in our lives. It is important today that in the midst of Christmas, when we are so busy, we are so preoccupied with things, with activities, with celebrations, with decorations, with beautiful things on the outside, that we realize that in the midst of some of our darkest places, it isn't about all of that stuff. It's about the presence of a God who can bring righteousness and justice through Jesus Christ. Madeleine Albright, in her book, The Mighty and the Almighty, tells a story from Bob Seiple, who was then president of World Vision, about Mary, a young Lebanese woman. During the civil war in Lebanon in the 1980s, Mary lived in a little Christian village with other Christian families, and a Muslim militia came in and invaded it. During that civil war, while fleeing, Mary tripped on the root of a tree that had been cut down. While fleeing, a young man came up, caught her on the ground and pressed a pistol in the back of her neck and said, "Renounce the cross of Jesus Christ or die." She said, "I was born a Christian and I'll die one." And he shot her. The shot broke her spine, but she somehow lived, and she lived through the night. The next day, in an ironic way, the Muslim militia came back and picked her up, put her on a stretcher to take her to a hospital where she was cared for. And there in the hospital, while interviewing another person, she said, "Even though they tried to kill me, God is present with me, and God has helped me to forgive them." It is the presence of God in the midst of the toughest moments that makes a difference. We can go through all the motions. We can do all the right actions. We can have the right government or the right religion. It is about the presence of Almighty God. And we celebrate that presence in this table today. For in the Reformed tradition, we recognize that the table is nothing. The elements of bread and wine are nothing except that Jesus is really present. We come to the table because Jesus is here. And we receive Jesus and we take Jesus into our minds and our hearts, into our beings when we receive the body and blood of Jesus. Because He alone is our righteousness. That's what will get us through the darkest, the most despairing times and the troubles of the night. Because in the night, when you have no one else to talk to, you know that God is alive and present and will listen and will speak to you a comforting and kind voice. So today in Jesus Christ, in the midst of Advent, when it seems like there are many troubles in our lives, when there are many tears to be shed, remember that God is our righteousness. Jesus is present as the King who lives within us. He is our justice and righteousness. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, some of us here may not have engaged you or encountered you. At this moment, we may hunger and thirst for you. Give us the courage to invite you into our lives. The stronger courage to turn and follow you into a world that is full of confusion and chaos. Help us not be dependent upon institutions and systems, but on your powerful presence. Teach us to be people of prayer and to be transformed by our dependency upon who you are as the God who is righteous and just in our hearts and minds. Change us. Help us to receive you and to follow you in this moment. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.